There's a progression of dosha, rittata, sarasanga. So sarasanga includes shiksha and diksha. And after that begins anartha nivritti. After one has attained diksha, then it begins anartha nivritti on the path of devotion. Devotion begins with diksha. Before that, we say that it's sukriti. One is accumulating sukriti by hearing and chanting and doing so many things. It's like reading the books for the college, but you're not enrolled. Mm. You're reading and you're getting a good grasp of the subject. But you're not. And you may be answering questions and making questions and answering them, but they're not school-given tests. Mm. And you're not enrolled. And you're not getting any credit. Mm. So you're not official. Your name is not entered on the register there. But there's no loss. It's beneficial. So when you finally get admitted and start attending and accept it as a bona fide student, then that whatever you've done preliminary work will be to your credit. It'll help you. So this nishcha is a stage after anartha nivritti. So one becomes steady. Lack of steadiness is basically all those 11 gross and mental and physical symptoms of Anishtita Bhakti, mentioned in Madhurya Kadambini by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. 6 to do with the body and 5 to do with the mind, I think it's like this. Gross and subtle, these are all anarthas. So when they become nivritti, when you become free from all those, then Anishta manifests. So it's a very high state, really, Anishta. The Kanishtha Adhikari is Kanishtha, Kanishtha, Kanishtha Madhyam, Kanishtha Uttam. So the Kanishtha Adhikari, the beginner, of course, is in anartha nivritti. And then it becomes closer to Nishtha, becomes more steady, and it's Kanishtha Madhyam. And then Kanishtha Uttam is practically at the level of Nishtha. Then Madhyam Bhakti is considered to be Nishtha. They say that The minimal qualification to be a guru, the minimal, not exceptional qualification or optimal. In other words, there's exceptional characteristics of a guru, then there's qualification. So the minimal qualification is to be a Madhyam Adhikari, which means that basically one is Madhyam Kanishtha, he has Nishtha, he's steady, very strong faith, able to convince others, and thorough conviction himself, well versed in the Vedas, Vedic Shastra. Can answer most questions and deal with most arguments. So he can be guru with a limited number of disciples. So you can't expect to be on a level of nishtita bhakti when you haven't even started bhakti yet. Nishtita is this level of bhakti. Anartha nivritti is like cleansing to bring us to the plane of bhakti. Steady in service, that's nishtha. Steady in bhakti. And the unsteadiness in service is due to our anarthas, aparads, avidya, offenses. Yeah, it's a preparation. That's like if you know that when you go to college that the first class is at 4 a.m. and you get up every day at 6 a.m., then you think, oh, I better start practicing getting up early, because when I go to college the first class is at 4 a.m. So that's the same thing with here, that initiation requirements is that the first class begins at 4 a.m. in the college. If someone's habituated to getting up at 6, then they better get some lead time to revamp their schedule so they can be in class. If they miss the class, then they won't get any credit. So they can't pass the school exam, they can't progress because they're not attending the class. So in this school of devotion, the first class begins at 4 a.m. Prabhupada says in the purport of Nectar Instruction, all the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should rise at 4 a.m. So what does it mean, Krishna Consciousness Movement? It means three things. One thing it means is that you're conscious. You're alive. You're conscious. Second thing is you're conscious of Krishna. The third thing is that you're moving towards Krishna. So every human being should be in the Krishna consciousness movement. Every being should be conscious, alive. And the purpose of human life is to understand God, and God is Krishna. So understanding means moving towards and serving. And that's movement. That's abhideya. Abhideya means movement. Motion, action, seva, devotion, works of devotion, bhakti, Krishna consciousness movement. So that purport, some grihasta will read that purport and say, I'm not, this doesn't apply to me. I have my own house, my own job, my own family. Krishna consciousness movement, this means ISKCON. I probably didn't say that ISKCON. So members of the Krishna consciousness movement, all members of the Krishna consciousness movement. So then, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not conscious. I'm sleeping. I'm unconscious. And I don't know about anything about Krishna. I don't have anything to do with Krishna. And I'm not doing it. I don't have any movement. I'm not moving anywhere. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy to die and get old and diseased and take another birth. This is my happy movement. So anyone who has a half brain will understand that, yes, I want to be part of that movement, like we say, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, the Krishna consciousness movement. Well, you want to be in this movement? Then wake up. Jeev Jago, Guru Chandra Bole. Oh, Jeev, Atma, wake up. Jeev Jago, Atma, wake up. Soul, wake up. Jeev Jago means soul, wake up. You're sleeping in the lap of a witch. The lap of the witch is your material body, a material mind. And they're sucking out your very vital energy. This witch is sucking the blood of your vitality, the blood of your existence. This witch of this body and the witch of this mind. Bhukti Mukti Pisachi. Isn't Chaitanya Charitamrita? These witches, there's two witches that haunt the living entity. Bhukti and Mukti. Desire for sense gratification, desire for emancipation, desire for freedom. I want out. I've had it. I'm fed up. So this is emancipation. So these are two witches. The haunted living entity. Yeah, we lose time sometimes. Then we make up for lost time later. Like, we get sick in school, you miss the classes, and you have to make up. So when we slip and fall behind in the class, then we have to take extra studies or get a tutor and pick up the slack. So the main thing is the sincerity of purpose. As Radhakund Prabhu used to say, he says, stay on purpose. Stay on purpose. Don't lose the purpose. Don't lose the goal. In other words, you may be on a boat sailing across the water. Then a storm may come up, and you have your idea of where you're going, but it's called blown off course. You get blown off course, and the boat gets spun around, maybe even. Upside down or whatever, and then your mast gets broken, the main mast of the sailboat gets broken, and you have to repair that, and then finally you put everything back in order, then you hoist the sails, as they say, raise the sails, go hoist the sails, and then get out your navigation instruments, your sextant, and your nautical maps, and chart your location in the middle of the ocean on the basis of the star positions. And then you start steering yourself towards your destined, desired goal, Portugal or wherever. So this we know our desired goal. Our desired goal is the Prem Seva of Radha Govinda in the groves of Vrindavan. Especially become a Pran Sakhi Mandri, Nitya Mandri of Radharani, Nitya Sakhi. engaged in her eternal slavery as Radharani's Sevadasi handmaiden. This is our Parakashta, our confirmed identity, confirmation. They have function in Christianity and Catholics called confirmation. It's kind of like Brahmin initiation, confirmation. So we have a confirmed identity. And so temporarily, we may be thrown off of that due to some bad luck, bad association, or purva sanskaras, our own material desires disturb us and distract us from the intended goal. But then we get, when those disturbances are removed and association is dissolved, asat-sangatyag. Asat-sangatyag means dissolving undesirable association. Dissolving undesirable association. When they're dissolved, and we dissolve association with our material mind, then we can get on course and go straight to the goal. Yeah, when you're in bad association and you're getting taking rest late, and your biorhythm is getting upset. You hear so much grami katha. You have to drink so much nonsense talk about grama and this one, that one. It's all garbage. Mm-hmm. It's mind pollution, heart pollution. Mm-hmm. So you have to detox. Get detoxified. You have to go on a detoxification ward and get sprayed, special anti-maya sprays. Kill all the cholera germs. All the parivar germs. Parivar contamination. Wholesale. Dirty. So we say brainwashed, so your brain sullied. Brain sullied. Sullied means become dirty. Brain sullied. Now you become brainwashed. You wash your brain. By Hari Katha, Sarasanga. So it's like this, like a bell curve. You're up in the top and you're in good shape and good association. And you control the situation, doing things that you want to do. And then the situation changes and you're in the bottom. In the pits, as they say. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone, you're controlled by your circumstances and controlled by your surroundings and controlled by your relatives. So it's called circumstances beyond our control. This transmission is being interrupted due to circumstances beyond our control. So this message we have to send to Krishna on our cell phone. My dear Krishna, my bhakti progress is temporarily being my transmission of bhakti is temporarily being interrupted due to situations, technical difficulties beyond my control. We hope to be back on the air very soon. Please bear with us. Your support is always appreciated. And don't forget all the good service we gave you before. Yours truly, National Broadcasting Company, NBC. So, KDD, Krishna Das Anudas. So then one of his friends commented upon hearing that original piece that, oh, you're saying eat all the time, eat. Why are you concentrating, focusing only on eating? And now he's replying that everything, that eating is, that's it, everything is eating. Because eating means consuming. To jivo jivasta jivanam, as told in the Bhagavatam, second canto. Hastani sahastanam, apadani chatuspadam, falguni tatra mahatam, jivo jivasta jivanam. The weak subsist on the strong subsist on the weak. Those with ahastani, those that have no hands, they are food for the forehand, or those with hands. Ahastani, sahastani. So this whole material world is based on consumption. Say consumer generation, consumerism, consumer index. They have these things in newspaper. Consumer index. And they do studies, Gallup poll and studies to find out what do the consumers want to consume. And I find out that the Indian consumer now, the middle-aged Indian consumer, wants to consume whiskey and meat and illicit sex and Playboy and all sinful things. They find that this is the appetite of India. So now the suppliers of all these consumptive articles have come to India in proliferation to give Johnny Walker and teachers and Shiva's Regal and, and all kinds of illicit, sinful, contaminating, irreligious items to satisfy the consumer index of India. Now it's eating. It's all eating. Whether you eat food or you eat someone's head, even they have phrases like that, you're eating my head. Eating my head means you're speaking so crazy, or you're driving me crazy with your games, your mental games, or your emotional games. You're eating my head. So it's a fact that no living entity in the material world can live without consuming another. One amoeba is consuming another amoeba. One cell is surrounding another cell, engulfing it and taking it into itself. So this is exploitation. The material world is based on exploitation. There's no dedication, there's all exploitation, consumption. So everyone is eating, everything is eating. Like sleeping, we say sleeping, but sleeping is also eating. Sleeping is also eating. Because what are you doing? You're eating time. You're consuming time. You're taking 8 hours of time and consuming it, putting it inside yourself and going into nothingness, like death, partial pralaya. So you're eating that time, you're consuming that time and not serving Krishna. You're just consuming it, but not contributing. You're not contributing anything while you're sleeping. You're just consuming, eating, exploiting that time. It's no benefit for Krishna. It's no service to Krishna. Because the soul doesn't need to eat, sleep, mate, or defend. There's souls in the spiritual world, there's no one's eating anything. And sometimes they honor Krishna's remnants. They get some prasad from Krishna, they honor it, they respect it, they worship it, and they carry it on their heads. It becomes their worshipful object. They don't consume it, they don't eat it. They honor it, worship it, regard it. So this is a quite appropriate phrase. I need to eat, I need to eat. This is the whole basis of the material world. Everyone's eating each other. Eating means E for exploitation. Eating or exploiting means I destroy part of you for my advantage. Eating means you take the food, you destroy the food. You eat the food means it's destroyed. You eat the apple is no more. So if you exploit someone, then they lose their time. They lose their self-dignity, or they lose their self-worth. They become your slave, or they become your... This is the whole material world, everyone's eating. In the spiritual world, everyone's dedicating. Everyone's serving Krishna. Everyone's giving. Consuming means taking. Consumption, to take. Eat means to take. Eating doesn't mean to give. Eating needs to take. Take energy from another. Take energy from another, that's eating. So that means exploiting. A man wants some energy from a woman, so he has to take it. He doesn't have it, she has it. The softness, the gentleness, the whatever, shyness. It's a different polarity. Woman's body is different than a man's. So he wants what she has. So he has to eat it. I need to eat. I need to consume this woman. I need to exploit this woman. The man is thinking, I have to eat this man. I have to consume this man. So this is the whole material world is based on eating. the eating concept, I need to eat. As soon as you transcend the need to eat, then you're in the spiritual world. Because no man is exploiting any woman, no woman's exploiting any man. There's mutual appreciation. There's mutual appreciation, mutual gratitude, and mutual cooperation. This is impossible to find at any time, anywhere in the material world. Someone will always lose. There's no mutual anything. It's mutual exploitation. Everyone's appreciating each other. Everyone's cooperating with each other. Everyone's grateful to each other. As a center, there's only one center. The center is no one but Krishna. The center is outside of me. The center is not me, it's outside of me, it's someone beyond me. Everyone's center is not themselves. This is the funny thing. Everyone's center is the supreme sense, the supreme self. The over-self, the super-soul, Krishna. He's the center of all existence. He's the center of everyone's interest. So this, we say self-interested. So here everyone's interested in themselves. Me generation. I, me, and mine. Ahamameti. I, me, and mine. And well, people always ask, what's in it for me? I scratch your back. Okay, fine. I scratch your back, but you have to scratch mine. My self-interest. Profit calculation. Everyone's calculating profit. And everyone thinks they're the center. I am the center of the universe. The Christians were so foolish, they used to think the Earth planet was the center of the galaxy. Remember that? In the early days of astronomy. In the Middle Ages and Dark Ages of knowledge, so-called knowledge, they used to think the Earth was the center of the universe. The center of the solar system was the Earth. And just an extension of the exploitation idea. I am God, and this is where I live, therefore this is the center. I am God, so I am the center of all my activities centered around me. Like husbands say to their wives, this is my house. If you want to live here, you have to do what I say. So I'm the center. And you're just orbiting around me. So that's that concept every human being has. That I'm the center. Every woman has that idea. You put that together and they think, actually this Earth planet is the center of the whole universe. Every single planet, the sun, the moon, they're all moving around the Earth. They used to have pictures in old Bibles, medieval Bibles. They have pictures of the Earth in the middle and the sun and everything moving around. And of course, as far as I know, I think the sun is the center of the solar system. The actual scientific fact is. Everything's moving around that. Everything's moving in its own orbit and in an orbit around the sun. So this egocentric idea is the basic cause of material existence. Misidentification. Egocentric means is misidentification with the material body. Egocentric means, ego means identity. The id, identity. ID for identity. And id. I am the body. I am the center. I am the enjoyer. I am the creator. I am the doer. It's all falsity. It's all incorrect thinking, misconception. All material world is a plane of misconception, misadjustment. Everyone's misadjusted here, maladjustment. They have suits in the hospital, malpractice suits for lawyers and doctors, because they're always ripping up. They're the biggest rip-offs. The biggest rip-offs in the material world are doctors and lawyers. They charge the most fees and make the most money. And they're the most culpable, the most responsible for malpractice suits. They cheat the most. The more money means more cheating. More money means more lying. So all the jivas of this world should be sued for maladjustment. Maladjustment practices. Malpractice. Dirty practice. Mal means dirt in Sanskrit. Amal soap powder. Nirmal, what do they call it? Nirmal. There used to be a famous Indian soap powder called Nirmal. No dirt, so Malpractice means practicing dirty, dirty practice. So maladjustment means dirty adjustment, dirty adjustment. The soul is maladjusted in this world, thinking I aham karta, aham Ishvara. Ishvara ham aham bhogi balavan, balavan sukhi. Siddham balavan sukhi, I am powerful, perfect, I am happy. This is all wrong adjustment, misconception. We have to rise above all this illusion. Armed with knowledge, stand and fight. Krishna is the Bhoktaram, and the Maheshwaram, and the Suridam. He's the enjoyer of all sacrifices. He's the controller of all planets, and all atoms and everything. And he's a friend of everyone. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantamrityati. This is a Shanti formula, peace formula.